Well, you heard it already. That saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Victoria Safford writes in a reading that we often use this time of year that now is the moment of magic. And here's a blessing, she says. We've already received our presence, ears to hear music, eyes to behold lights, hands to build true peace on earth, and to hold each other tight in love. To hold each other tight in love. The gifts of life, the gift of life, is our present. UU theologian Rebecca Park reminds us and challenges us, though. She writes, our gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of the hands, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. Any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love. Any of these can slam shut the prison door, hoard bread, abandon the poor, obscure what is holy, comply with injustice or withhold love. You must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward in the world with an intention to do good. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. And while there is injustice, anesthetization or evil, there moves a holy disturbance, a benevolent rage, a revolutionary love, protesting, urging, insisting that which is sacred will not be defiled. Those who bless the world with live their life as a gesture of thanks for this beauty and this rage. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude to search for the sources of power and grace, native wisdom, healing, and liberation. More, the choice will draw you into community, the endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, the chorus of life welcoming you. None of us alone can save the world. Together, that is another possibility waiting. Rebecca Parker. Her challenge is clear. Our gifts have power, but how we choose to use them determines their impact. This choice calls us to mindfulness and purpose. Choose to bless the world. By listening to our deepest selves, opening to life's gifts, and serving needs greater than our own, we live into the compassion that is possible simply by paying attention, being mindful, being present. Be here now. The transformational theme for the month of December is presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. And presence is the gift of reciprocity that we offer back to life. Presence is the state of being somewhere. When we get an invitation that reads, "Your presence is requested," we're being asked to show up. Our style of being there, our demeanor, our bearing, is also our presence. Who we are and how we show up matters. Spiritually, presence can mean two things. Being fully attentive to the moment and recognizing a transcendent force woving through all the moments. These aren't opposing ideas. They complement each other and dance together, revealing the sacred in the here and the now. In a worldly kind of way, think about it. If you become interested in a certain kind of car, say, how many of us then notice them everywhere we go? Yes, right? We do. Once they come into our consciousness, we see it everywhere. More personally, if you pay attention to your child, listening to them, caring what they say, they know they matter. And then slowly and mysteriously, maybe a confidence and a unique self reveals itself. If we pay attention to the flow of our breathing or the flow of the ocean, and we become aware then of something larger than ourselves, look for a long time at a single tree or flower, and eventually it presents itself to us as a world in and unto itself. Haven't we all felt that when we are fully present, more powerful presences emerge? The idea of being fully present, living in the present, fully aware at every moment, used to bother me quite a lot because I didn't really understand how that was possible until I realized that the past, the present, and the future are in many ways all happening now. We are who we are because of our past, and we will be who we will be because of the choices and the experiences that we're making and having now. Even though the definition of presence may seem otherwise, I don't know that we can be completely mindful all the time. So I'm letting us off the hook about that. So let's think of it this way. Living with presence means being engaged in each moment without being consumed in each moment by regrets, anxieties, or distractions. It's about savoring the beauty of life, finding joy in the simplest things, and developing a sense of gratitude for what is happening right now. It's a very Unitarian Universalist practice. We don't have to do it perfectly. Presence is a practice, something we work at, we pay attention to. It's something we can cultivate. We ask this month, how do we live love through practicing presence? How does practicing presence invite us to embody liberating love? Practicing presence means stepping out of the distractions of the past and the future to ground ourselves in the here and the now. It's about cultivating openness, awareness, and connection. When we practice presence, we can see without judgment. It helps us move beyond biases and assumptions, allowing us to see others and ourselves more clearly. And by doing so, we're able to meet people where they are with compassion and understanding rather than criticism and control. When we practice presence, we can live with love at the center. And it requires attentiveness and engagement. Practicing presence enables us to listen deeply, respond authentically, and hold space for others in ways that affirm their inherent dignity and worth. When we practice presence, we break free from ego. When we're present, we detach from ego-driven narratives of self-interest or defensiveness. And this opens the door for love that is selfless and expansive and inclusive, a love that frees both the giver and the receiver. When we practice presence, we can align with our interconnectedness. It reveals the interconnected nature of all beings. And we can experience that. When we do experience that, we embody naturally love that seeks not to dominate, but to liberate and uplift. And we're going to need that in the coming days. When we practice presence, we can act with intention. We can discern actions rooted in love and justice rather than fear and reactivity. And that will be important in these coming days. This conscious way of being transforms how we engage with the world, allowing our actions to embody liberating love in tangible ways. Presence is a practice, something we work at, cultivate, and return to when we falter. It invites us into liberating love by anchoring us in the moment where compassion and connection flourish. Anna Bladel of Infleshed writes, "What if freedom, instead of an impossible demand or futuristic fantasy, is what efflorescences as we turn toward one another, bearing witness and practicing withness, enfleshing the sacred through fierce and tender care, and practicing spirit as the wild love that makes possible what we are told is impossible, survival with joy, collective liberation." A friend and mentor of recent and blessed memory, Jim Grant, said to me when I first began my work with college students, "Campus ministry is a ministry of presence." A ministry of presence is a profound act of care and kindness rooted in simply being with someone, physically, emotionally, and mentally, without judgment, distraction, or the need to fix. We've said it again and again, no fixing, no saving, no advice giving, no setting each other straight, unless it's asked for. It's about showing up fully and offering empathy, support, and acceptance. This is compassion. Often the greatest gift we can offer is our full attention, creating space for healing and connection. And this kind of presence communicates, you matter. I see you. I hear you. It reminds us that compassion doesn't require grand gestures. It only asks for our willingness to listen and share another's experience. And this ministry of presence doesn't belong just to the minister. It belongs to all of us. This is your community, your church, or it can be, and your opportunity to show up. There's a ministry for you in this world. There's a ministry for us in this world. How we show up for one another through joy, sorrow, and uncertainty matters deeply, not just here, but everywhere. I wish I had titled this service, "Your Presence is Requested," because that really is what presence is, showing up. Our presence to each other and to this community matters. This week, Perry Bacon suggested that one of the things to keep despair at bay right now is to find a UU church. So many people responded to his earlier article about wishing for a church of the nuns and saying that he should try a UU congregation that he did. He went and found one. And this week he suggested that others do the same. And if you're one of those who showed up today because of Perry Bacon, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Your presence doesn't just matter. It transforms. Together, we create spaces where love heals and justice grows and hope takes root. Practicing presence isn't always easy. Sometimes we avoid being fully present because we fear what we might encounter. Pain we cannot fix, anger we cannot soothe, or uncertainty that makes us uncomfortable. At other times, we're so consumed by our own struggles that we feel we have nothing left to give. And if that's you, I want to say, it's okay to be here and receive. And there's also a paradox in that when we offer our presence to another, when we offer our truth to another, even in our own imperfection or weariness, we can often find ourselves renewed. Compassion is not a finite resource. The more we give it, the more we grow it. As a congregation, how might we embody presence as compassion? Perhaps it means creating spaces where people feel safe to share their truths, even when those truths are messy or painful. Perhaps it means slowing down to check in with someone we haven't seen in a while, or making room for quiet reflection in our worship and gatherings. Perhaps it means showing up physically, emotionally, and spiritually for the work of justice, listening deeply to the voices of those most impacted by oppression. I've said this before, you do this well. This is our reminder together to keep doing that and to continue to cultivate it. And practicing presence, we live out our mission to kindle the flame of love and justice, to nurture and heal ourselves, each other, and our world. We remind ourselves that love is not only a feeling, but an action, a way of being. And I invite you now to consider this. Who in your life is in need of your presence? How might you offer it today, this week, and this season? And where might you need to receive the compassionate presence of another? The practice of presence creates a spaciousness within us where love can flow freely, free of conditions, barriers, or attachments, and invites others into that freedom as well. Being present is a transformative act of love and connection. As we move into this season, let us commit to being present to ourselves, to one another, and to the sacred world around us. May our presence become a gift, a healing, and a blessing. Amen, and blessed be.